Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. We are live on the air. It is Monday at 8:30. And you may ask, why are you going live? Monday Night Raw is on, and yes it is. But I did not have a chance to record over the weekend, so I'm going to give some thoughts on things that are going on and some news stories that I haven't had a chance to give you guys my thoughts on. And that's going to be coming up in just a moment. Thank you guys for joining me. If you'd like to call in and ask me a question or discuss some topics on WWE, you can do so at 657-383-1704. Again, that's 657-383-1704. And once you've done that, if you'd like to get into the calling queue to discuss something, the only way I'll know that you want to get on the air and chat is if you press 1. So just keep that in mind, guys. Thank you again for joining me. I'm going to continue this live format. And those of you who are new patrons on Patreon.com, I want to thank you guys as well. Those of you who are pledging, I do appreciate it. There's some awesome content coming, lots of good stuff on the way, video reviews, being able to show specials, lots of things happening. I'm going to really simplify the tiers that are available on Patreon as well. So if you'd like to support the show, that is the best way to do it at patreon.com/WWE podcast. So thank you guys for those of you who have done that. And those of you who may be thinking about it, go ahead and check it out. It is a bang for your buck, literally a buck, I promise you. So if you'd like to check me out on any other live streaming feed or post live streaming feed, you can do so at Spotify or iHeartRadio or Spreaker. Anywhere that you have a podcast app, this show will be there, I promise you. So, and those of you who are leaving me 5-star rating and reviews, thank you so much for doing so. It is much appreciated, and I do feel the love, and I really would like to continue to grow this show. I think it's an awesome platform to be able to converse with not just myself, but bring on co-hosts, which makes things a lot more fun, and I'll be continuing to do that as well. And again, if you'd like to get on the air and chat with me, you can do so right now. And I really don't anticipate too many of you. If you're wrestling fans, you're probably watching Raw right now as we speak. So, but nonetheless, guys, thank you. And a couple of things that I never got the chance to talk about. And while it is a little bit of old news, I still feel it as important to be able to share this with you. And coming out of the last few days, well, really mid to late last week, Dean Ambrose leaving WWE. Now, I have mixed feelings on this. I think that it is a loss for WWE. But if you ask me, Dean Ambrose has been kind of going through the motions over the last few months. Ever since his return, he didn't have a whole lot to say up until he turned heel the night that Roman announced he had cancer. And since then, he's been kind of spinning his wheels. The match with Seth Rollins was at best underwhelming at TLC. And since then, he really hasn't been doing a whole lot. He became Intercontinental Champion, which he dropped to Seth, and then has lost to Seth clean on Raw since that time. So I don't know if this is really the worst thing for Dean Ambrose. As we all know, the WWE is a business. It's a machine that will continue to spin no matter who leaves the show. And Dean Ambrose, while he was an important spoke on the wheel, is not the wheel. And I do believe that at some point in the future, Dean Ambrose and the WWE will reconnect. you can see it by their statement. In WWE's statement, they had said that, unfortunately, Dean Ambrose has decided not to renew his contract that expires at the end of April, and that they hope to do business down the road. I'm paraphrasing, but you often don't see that. Typically, when a star leaves WWE, they get future endeavored. You see we have not come to terms, or so-and-so has been released. We wish them, or we wish him or her, the best in all their future endeavors, period. And in this case, this is a very rare, I can't even recall the last time the WWE put a public statement out there where they had said that basically we hope to do business in the future again. I mean, they just don't say that publicly. They may say it behind the scenes, but they very rarely do that because it gives them power. But in this case, I think it speaks to Dean Ambrose's contributions to the business, the respect that they have for Dean Ambrose, and that he's leaving on good terms. You know, the conversation, this is all assumption, but probably went in some form of, listen, guys, it's not about the money. I'm feeling like I'm spinning my wheels. I need to go explore other options right now. And, you know, down the line, I could see us getting back together again. I mean, it could have been that simple. And no amount of money would have convinced Dean to stay. I think that he's likely feeling very constrained and suffocated by creative and frustrated, likely. And as Jim Ross always says, it's either cash or creative. And if it's not cash, guess what it is? And as a fan of Dean Ambrose, and I'm a fan of Dean Ambrose, I think it's a loss, but one that I don't think is gone forever. And you have to remember that there's other options out there. Yes, there's AEW. I think that that is the one that most people are looking towards, yet the promotion hasn't even had a single show yet. It could very well be AEW. Chris Jericho promised or had stated that AEW, in addition to himself, have signed two major stars. Many of us are skeptical or prognosticating, probably a better word, that Kenny Omega could be one of the two, and maybe Dean Ambrose is the second star that signs with AEW. Dean Ambrose has a hell of a name value. And yes, he may not have ever been the face of the brand, but he was one-third of one of the largest and most successful stables of all time in the Shield. Brand value. He is a semi-household name. He's the guy that you would say, if you didn't mention, if you mentioned the name Dean Ambrose to a casual, maybe not even casual, maybe the person that only chimes into WrestleMania or has removed themselves from the product for several years, and you said Dean Ambrose, do you know who Dean Ambrose is? They would go, sounds really familiar. Is he the guy that was with that group? I mean, that's probably the answer you'd get. He's got that household brand value, household name value, but not quite to the level, obviously, of Hogan or Austin or Rock. I mean, he's nowhere near there, but he has contributed in such a big way for so long that it is really something that is going to benefit Dean Ambrose when he looks for work outside of WWE. I don't think he will have any issue getting what he wants out of whatever promotion he decides to go with. And that's, of course, assuming that he's going to another wrestling promotion. If money's not an issue for him, maybe he takes 6 months off, just pursues other projects or passions that he may have. It's possible. I mean, we're all just assuming he's going to AEW, which I think would be awesome. It'd be awesome to see him in an environment where he is not stressed and he is happy to be there, and he has the creative stroke to develop and show us the character that he has always wanted to be, and not be a corporate WWE version of himself. I would like to see that version of Dean Ambrose. So again, I'm excited for Dean's future, namely because I think that it's a positive for him. It's yes, it's a loss for the company, but again, I believe they will do business down the line. It may be years before they do. But if Dean is going to another wrestling promotion, you can bet your bottom dollar that as well as many other fans will follow him to wherever he goes. And could you imagine Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, and Dean Ambrose as the three top guys in a promotion that hasn't even run one show yet? That's awesome. And look, I'm all for, just because this is called the WWE podcast does not mean that I am in the tunnel of WWE and believe they are the only version of professional wrestling that's out there. And I don't even believe that they are the best version of what's out there. They're just the biggest. They put out the most content. They are clearly the most successful. They have a huge, huge following, regardless of whether it is WrestleMania season or not. People know what the WWE is. It crosses over so many different forms of entertainment. Yes, that's all true. But when stars feel suffocated in large promotions and they feel like they're just another number in large promotions, it's just like going to the mom and pop shop when you go down to AEW or you go to Ring of Honor or you go to New Japan, where you have the creative freedom and you may be happier even if the cash in WWE is better. So just some thoughts, and I think it'll be interesting to see what Renee Young and how she reacts. I'm sure that they've had that conversation. I'm not getting into Dean's personal life, but I'm sure it was a decision they made together. And I think it'd be honestly better for Renee Young and her commentary, because she doesn't have to sit out Dean Ambrose matches, which is what she kind of does when he's on screen in a match, and especially if he's playing a heel and she's a babyface commentator. It's a weird dynamic. So again, I think Renee Young stays. I think she's slowly improving on commentary. Having a female voice in the commentary desk is welcome. And Dean Ambrose, I think this is a win-win for both promotions. And it allows guys who may have been scratching and clawing to get up to the level of Dean now see that spot open and make them work harder to replace that spot that Dean had been taking up. And so I think it's a win-win. I really do. We can't just look at this as a net negative, because there are so many positives to this happening. So, all right, let's move on to some more storyline stories. And that is Daniel Bryan's belt and the hemp belt that he created. Many people are honestly loving this belt. Even if he's a heel, they're loving this belt, and I'm one of them. I'm not a vegan. I don't ever want to become a vegan. I have no interest in it. I like my hamburgers. I like my chicken. I like my dairy. I love all of that. Okay? I don't need, nor do I have any interest in that lifestyle. And people are, many podcasts out there are thinking and trying to portray the notion that what Daniel Bryan is doing is controversial, and that the logic he's using in his promos to say that all of these environmentally damaging things that people are doing are bad. Well, of course they're bad. Of course they're bad, but you have to realize the way he's delivering it. And while the message may ring true for many people, even though he's supposed to be a heel, it's the way in which it's done. Because it's done in a condescending way. Even if the message is true, it's how it's delivered to the audience. Even if they believe and agree with the argument in and of itself, it's how it's delivered. And Daniel Bryan has been delivering it in an arrogant, condescending, holier-than-thou, talking down to people way. And that's how you do it. You could say anything that people almost, okay, let's not get out of hand, but you could say almost anything and have it mean something else, depending on who is saying it and how it's delivered. It's the tone, word choice. It's how you speak to the people that are listening to you, even if the message they are listening to, they agree with. They can boo that. So people that are saying that this is controversial, or that they're towing a line, a dangerous line, and that, oh, well, he's a heel and he's saying things that are actually true, and how can you boo the environment, the support of the environment? Well, no. That's not what's at stake here. Here's the thing. People realize that this is a fantasy environment. At least, my God, I hope so. The point after WWE has all but pulled back the curtain every single week. And they realize that, okay, yeah, we get the message. We get it. I mean, you know, of course, yeah, pollution's bad. We get all that. And eating healthy is good. And we get all of that, okay? But it's how it's delivered. We don't like this guy that is thinking that what he is saying is superior to anything that we may do or any beliefs that we may have. It's called just delivery. It's called delivery, folks. And so I'm just listening to major podcasts, of which I will not name because I don't give free advertising. But you guys know. Look at the major podcasts. Listen to them. I listen to them. But don't worry. I have my own original ideas. I promise. One of them is contrary to many of those major wrestling podcasts. So that's my thought. And I love the hemp belt. I think it's a great touch. And what I will say is that since Daniel Bryan has gotten this custom-made belt, I think that's a very clear sign that Daniel Bryan is holding that championship belt at least to WrestleMania. WWE does not create custom belts for guys that they are going to be dropping the championship anytime soon. And I think the hemp belt is so unique. It's not the spinner belt that John Cena created, which I absolutely loathed until the day of its death. Really, from the day of inception till the day that that belt died, I despised it. It looked like a toy. It, in my estimation, really, I think, disrespected the championship and the legacy and lineage of the men that held that belt previously. It was just a disaster of a belt, in my opinion. It was cool. Oh my God, it spins. Wow. I mean, it looked like a child's toy. But this is such a unique looking belt, and it just fits with his personality, his mission, which is awesome, and I love it. And as far as Eric Rowan goes, they could maybe change his music up, please. I mean, Eric Rowan is, unfortunately, I don't believe there's a single person on the roster that gets less of a reaction than when Eric Rowan comes out. Now, that may change, and I am an Eric Rowan fan, despite my fact that I'm being critical right now. It's just a fact. I mean, he has been kind of the third wheel in the Wyatt family. He was in more fans' eyes than not, looked at as second best to Luke Harper when he was in the Bludgeon Brothers. We just never got to know who and what Eric Rowan is. Who and what is he? He never gave us a mission statement other than the occasional creepy backstage promo with, you know, a sheet mask on or a gas mask on, and you got the little Edison bulb light above him, and he says some creepy, you know, a one-liner. I mean, really, that was the extent of the Eric post. And so we don't know what he is. Okay, he supports Daniel Bryan, but why? Why? Give us a little bit of something. I know he's going to be the heater for Daniel Bryan. He's going to be the one that takes the beatings when Daniel Bryan runs up the ramp. He's going to be the one that Daniel Bryan shoves in front of his opponents to take the beating while Daniel Bryan gets cheap shots. And I'm fine with all of that, and I think Daniel Bryan needs it. And to be honest with you, I think he needs another person. If Luke Harper were to join him, I think that could be a hell of a faction. I really do. I think Daniel Bryan needs one more. But I need more from Eric Rowan. The purpose of stables typically is to build more stars, new stars. And Eric Rowan could benefit from that. And Luke Harper could, who I think has been also sorely, even more than Eric Rowan, sorely underutilized. So I think that Daniel Bryan needs another one. He might get one to save himself at the Elimination Chamber somehow. I know it's in the chamber, but people lurk under the ring. There's ways in. But somehow, some way, I believe Daniel Bryan holds that belt until WrestleMania. I think he has some momentum going right now. And I'm looking forward to who ends up taking it off of him. I really am. I mean, but when you look at WrestleMania, who is his opponent? AJ Styles again? I hope not. We've seen it. And that's a crazy thing to say, that many of us just months ago before Daniel Bryan returned to the ring would have dreamed and paid top dollar to see AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan in the ring. And now, just like that, us fickle fans are already tired of it. So, all right, so that's the second thing. The third thing I wanted to talk about was the Ronda Rousey Becky Lynch promo that was stellar. A plus on Raw last Monday night. And I understand Raw's going on right now, which I will have a review for later this week. But it was, now the title of this show that I named it was that the Ronda and Becky promo reminds us why we love wrestling. These are the moments that don't happen as often as they should. However, when they do, it makes you remember why you watch wrestling. Because through all of the garbage that is on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown and pay-per-views of unbelievable nonsense going on, like Nia Jax entering the Men's Royal Rumble, which is a bunch of nonsense, No Way Jose not giving a damn that he was eliminated, and it's all in good fun. No, it's not. Okay, you're a professional athlete who's supposed to be a professional athlete, not be a laughing stock that just comes out and is supposed to be a comedy act in the biggest opportunity of your career and just continue with the Adam Rose 2.0 embarrassing eye rolling. This is why I hate being a wrestling fan, and I'm embarrassed to be one moment of No Way Jose. The opposite, as I just said, was Becky and Ronda, who went face to face last Monday and teed off on each other. I think most of it was probably scripted. However, when Ronda said to Becky, "I could kill you with my bare hands and everyone knows it," you have to believe that that WWE did not give that stamp of approval on that line. When was the last time you heard a superstar say to another, a wrestler say to another, "I'm going to kill you"? The only other time I heard it, and it was off mic, it wasn't supposed to be part of the promo, was Brock Lesnar and Undertaker before WrestleMania 30. And that was in their brawl, the pull apart. When Brock said, I'm going to kill you, and Undertaker said, "You're going to have to." That was the last time I heard it, 5 years ago, and it was off camera or off mic. It was, which made it even more special because it felt real, like as if that wasn't meant for the fans to hear between the two, which made it even more believable and more special. In this case, Ronda saying it, I believed her. And yes, we all know that Ronda Rousey could legitimately beat the holy hell out of Becky Lynch. I mean, anybody who doesn't believe that is a fool or hasn't watched Ronda Rousey in a UFC octagon. We all know that Ronda Rousey could legitimately destroy Becky Lynch. So Ronda saying that was true. And I don't think anybody disputes that. But I loved it for the sheer fact of it didn't feel like it was a wrestling promo. The look in their eyes, especially Ronda, who held her own, was real. It felt like she was back in UFC and in an environment that is not scripted. It felt awesome. And those are the moments that remind you that you are here for this. You're not going to get them every week. You're not going to get them every month. Maybe it only happens a couple of times a year. But those are the moments that pull you back in and make you believe again. Those times that you get lost in the moment and you remember why you're a fan. So hats off to Becky. Hats off to Ronda, who surprisingly held her own in front of a riled up Phoenix crowd that tried to derail her promo, and did for a moment until she regained her train of thought. And props to her for doing that as well. Now, one thing I will say, and it's about the Jim Ross podcast, Jim Ross Report, by the way. Awesome podcast. Love Jim Ross. Been a fan of him forever. Yeah, he's the voice of my childhood, blah, 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 all the cliches. But I do. I'm a big Jim Ross fan, and I agree with the majority of what he says on his shows. But when he agreed with two things, that I did. Jim, what are you thinking? The fact that the audience is there to just be defiant and disrupt Ronda Rousey in her promo and kind of denouncing and looking down on the fact that fans do that. Number one, you bought a ticket to be there to do what you want. And Jim Ross would say, yep, you did. But the defiance of the young male, no. If you are in the wrestling business and you get in front of a live crowd and they're loud, you should crave that. And furthermore, if you can't handle it, you're in the wrong business. That comes with the territory. I don't understand. There should be no complaints here. And furthermore, this is not a male audience or audience in general being defiant. People would use that excuse all the time that they're just being defiant, that they just boomer remains because it's cool. No. People don't emote that strong of a reaction just to be cool or be defiant. That is them rejecting the individual in the ring and supporting their opponent so strongly that they are trying to derail the promo of the heel that they perceive as the heel. And two, and I'll get to this in a moment, Jim Ross supported Nia Jax's decision in the Royal Rumble. And I'll get to Nia Jax's garbage Twitter feed in just a moment. Nia Jax, and I'm not just talking about as a performer, I'm talking almost to the level of a person, is starting to make me violently ill, and I'll get to that in a moment. But this whole notion that people are there to just be defined is a bunch of nonsense. So we're just supposed to sit there like good little fans and not react to your promos? If we're trying to tell you how we feel? So one more little point on this whole Ronda Becky thing before I move on is that if WWE, and I tweeted this out earlier this week, late last week actually, if WWE has any thought or any belief that Ronda Rousey is going to get fan support at WrestleMania, they are sadly, sadly mistaken. I think that was abundantly clear last Monday night when the fans were so behind Becky, it wasn't even close. So put them in a ring at WrestleMania. Who do you think they're going to cheer for? If anybody believes between now and then, I know there's 9-10 weeks before now and WrestleMania, I get all that. Oh, there's time to reeducate the fans. There's time to try to get support for Ronda so it's babyface, nonsense. WWE and Ronda have done an awesome job since her debut at the Rumble last year in 2018. Done a great job. Had one of the best matches at WrestleMania last year. Has made an amazingly fast transition from the MMA world to the WWE world. Props to all of that. And have gotten a positive reaction more often than not for a UFC star, an outsider in WWE. And they've all done a great job. However, you now have Becky Lynch, who the fans have seen for years and years and years in WWE get misbooked, mistreated, perceived not given a chance. And when she did, she couldn't defend the belt. She'd get it, lose it. I mean, it was almost as if she was allergic to the belt. She hasn't really had that breakout moment until, and this was by accident, SummerSlam this year when she snapped on Charlotte. And the fans have been on that journey with her, not just even since the main roster debut of Becky Lynch, when the Women's Evolution, Revolution, whatever it was, but through NXT. They know her backstory. She's relatable. She's got a great connection with the fans. She looks like a legit badass. She's got all of this. She's got years of support from fans and years of frustration from fans of not seeing her be booked correctly in the eyes of many. And then you have UFC superstar Ronda Rousey, who she has now morphed back into as the outsider who appears unstoppable. And now it is now the perception that the WWE machine is behind Ronda Rousey, much like they were behind Roman Reigns. And now they're going to try to shove Ronda down our throats, much like they did Roman Reigns. That's what's happening here. If you can't see that, you are blind. If anybody believes that Ronda is going to get cheered at WrestleMania, I don't even know what to say, tell you other than I would love to sit and watch with you as Ronda makes her entrance and they stand in the ring and the announcer gives both women's names and said that this is for the Raw Women's Championship and listen to the reaction and watch your face. I mean, seriously, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a hell of a match and the crowd reaction I'm looking forward to almost just as much. And the buildup to the match, I think, is going to be awesome too. I mean, they don't need to come face to face every week. You could have the backstage promos. You could have and I think Becky Lynch will step away for a while, and she should. I don't need to see Becky Lynch every week. She needs to feel special. Give us the backstory on Ronda. Give us the backstory on Becky. Maybe do a Stone Cold Rock type deal when they're sitting in the locker room together and they have a sit down interview with an interviewer. I mean, it could be that simple. I'm looking forward to it. The other piece of news coming out of the WWE wire, more recent, is Seth Rollins' injury. Legit injury. And this is something that I don't know if I'm too concerned about from everything I'm reading. It seems as if it's just something that he needs to nurse for a month or so and refrain from activity. They could easily write it off with the 5F5s last week. The brutal attack by Lesnar, which maybe they knew ahead of time to use as a storyline reason for Seth no longer being active, at least for the next few weeks. From what I'm hearing, he could return next week on Raw to start doing promos, but not get physical at least until March. And that's fine with me. I don't need to see Brock and Rollins every week. And I'm sure Brock doesn't need to see an airplane every week, which I'm sure he does not. And look, here's one little thing that I would love to see. I don't think it's going to happen, but if and when Brock and Rollins hook back up physically, when Rollins is medically cleared to do so, what I would love to see is a Vince McMahon, Shawn Michaels build from WrestleMania 23. And what I mean by that is, if you guys recall, that was one of the and really underrated builds in WrestleMania history. Yes, it's Vince. He's not the best performer. We all know that. Vince McMahon himself would tell you that. But the build. Remember the build. Shawn Michaels comes out there and tells Vince McMahon to move on. That was the birth. And then week after week after week after week, and then week after week, we had Vince McMahon get the best of Shawn Michaels every single week through WrestleMania 23. It was months of Vince McMahon on Monday Night Raw getting the best of Shawn Michaels until WrestleMania, when Shawn Michaels beat the holy hell out of Vince McMahon. And you finally saw Vince get what he deserved and finally get Sweet Chin Music. It was amazing. It was, I think, a very underrated match. Yes, it's not going to be a five-star match. We know that. The build can make up for so many of the sins of the actual match itself. So in this case, I think that they could do that with Brock and Rollins. Do I think Brock and Rollins is going to be an awesome match? Of course I do. I don't think it's going to be a 20-minute classic. It could go 15 minutes, maybe 15. But what I'm talking about the build there is maybe give a little bit of a taste of Vince and Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 23 and have Brock beat the holy hell out of Seth Rollins week after week after week and get the best of Rollins week after week after week. It would make you want to see Seth Rollins just absolutely destroy Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, and you'd pay to see it. Now, people would say, oh, it makes Seth Rollins look weak. Well, it depends how you do it. Have Brock give a couple low blows, cheap shots, Paul Heyman distractions, run-ins. There's ways to do it. And even when Seth gets in some offense, Lesnar does something underhanded. You maybe even use his brass knuckles. Something just super underhanded and despicable. That is what you do. Now, do I think that's going to happen? No. The reason is Vince McMahon got to make sure people, you know, people are left with a smile on their face, you know, because we're Saturday morning cartoons. Seriously, I mean, it's not going to happen, but I'd love to see that rather than the 1 week the heel gets the advantage, the next week the babyface does, 1 week the heel does, the babyface. It doesn't allow the heat to build on the heel. I mean, think about movies. How are most movies, especially action movies, designed? The heel, the bad guy, the antagonist, is the individual, man or woman, if you're watching sci-fi, whatever it may be, I don't know. I'm just assuming it's a man or a woman, human, do despicable things and get away with underhanded stuff and act like a total jerk and make you just want to see them get their ass kicked or die. Now, it's professional wrestling. I get no one's going to die. But you know what I'm this is the best analogy that I can give you guys. You build it and build it and build it and build it and build it until you can't take it anymore and you just need to see that person get destroyed. And the good person, the good guy or gal come out on top. And that's what we could have here and should have if I were booking. But I'm not. This is all fantasy booking. So, but those are just a couple of thoughts that I had, and I wanted to really share with you guys that I missed out on last week. So, again, guys, if you do want to call in, and this is going to be the number for the foreseeable future, this is not a number that changes every week. It's 657-383-1704. And that is the number you can call. And if you are listening, you can always just press one and get in on the conversation. So, guys, that's what I really want to talk to you about this week. And Raw is on, so I'm going to get back to watching Monday Night Raw and probably finish it up on Hulu tomorrow, as that seems to be the way I go with watching my wrestling. But and before I leave, I promise you guys this. Nia Jax, who just can't get out of her own way on Twitter. She is – now, look, I know she's a heel. I get it, and she should, and I commend men and women who protect their characters on social media, which almost never happens anymore, but she has moments of doing it. However, she is, I think, playing the heel as herself at times, which makes me believe that this is how she actually feels and is. Let me just share some of these things. She is replying to all of the, it's perceived on social media that Nia Jax has a ton of haters. And I think she does. And I think rightfully so at times, although WWE booking is responsible for her actions, I get it. But she got a tweet from someone that said, ironically, these same haters would be begging Nia for pictures and autographs in person. And she would say, always, baby boo, always. Let me just say this. If I'm a fan and I see a wrestler in the airport, of course, I would, if I didn't see them in a precarious position and they looked like they were available, not in the middle of something, I would probably approach them and ask them for a picture, maybe have a quick conversation and see you later. Roman Reigns said he never met a hater in his life. Well, no kidding. Number one, the people and trolls that are on Twitter and the ones, and I'm talking about the ones that are actually nasty, the ones that are actually saying, I'm going to kill your family, you're, I don't know, body shaming, you're a fat piece of crap, whatever, that nonsense. Those people you're not going to meet. And if you did, you wouldn't know it because they'd be too scared to say it to your face. And Roman Reigns said he never met a hater in his life. You know why? Because we don't hate you as a person. We hate the character that you are portraying. And more importantly, the position that WWE Creative has put your character in over the last 5 years. That's what we don't like. Of course, we respect you. We're fans. We're smart enough to be able to decipher from reality from fiction. Of course. But Nia Jax goes beyond that. She was, and I already mentioned this a little bit before, when she did the We're Here Too thing from WWE's year in review of the women, when WWE put out a single tweet of, oh my God, God forbid, it was just a snapshot. Excuse me. It was a single screenshot of some of the women of WWE in 2018, and it did not include anybody who was black. Hashtag We're Here Too. Oh my God, you're so brave, Nia. You're so brave. Oh my God, in a world where now everything has to be all inclusive, and if it's not, we're gonna tweak the outcome so that it looks like everything's all inclusive because everything has to be level and fair. Because, you know, that's how life is, right? Everything in life is fair and level. So I'm protected by the fact that society has really supported those views now, which it's such a soft, unrealistic view of the world. And so she felt protected by saying, we're here too. And number one, and number two, actually, I can count, I promise. Number two on that point, the we're here too. And number one, it's such an, I keep saying number one. I don't know why I keep saying that. Secondly, it is such an entitled position to take. You don't get that position unless you earn it. And furthermore, WWE did not exclusively say that the women in that photo they tweeted out on a single tweet, not a special on the WWE Network, were the only ones who contributed to 2018 success of the women's division. Get a grip. She has that feeling of just an entitled kind of passive-aggressive personality that she probably feels she's better than the men in some respects. And maybe that's the personality she's trying to project, because they have put her in a lot of men's situations that I do not agree with at all. Unless she gets what's coming to her, and that should be a RKO. I mean, seriously. There is just no right and no way that I'm supposed to believe that Nia Jax can legitimately take on the men in WWE. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. That's just not reality. She may be larger. Of course she is. Oh, you're saying she's fat? No. She is stronger than I am. She's stronger than a lot of the men in the roster are. No doubt. That's not the problem here. But if you're a man, it is just science that you are faster, in most cases stronger, and better equipped for battle, you know, because science, than women, period. I mean, that's just fact. Now, could Ronda Rousey kick most of the men's ass on the roster? I wouldn't say most. I would say a good majority, maybe half. No doubt. Ronda Rousey's a badass. But Nia Jax? Okay, you've got the size. What else? What else? I'm listening. She's going beyond the character that I dislike now. It's her arrogance on Twitter. And again, this very well may be because she's a heel, but it feels more. All right, so that's my rant for the evening. And guys, thank you for joining me. Again, you can catch me on Patreon if you'd like to listen to this ad-free and my exclusive audio that is only available on patreon.com/WWE podcast, where I have audio shows that you don't hear in my free feed that I do exclusively for members of my show there. So check that out. Also, please rate and review me on iTunes, on Spreaker, on Spotify, and on iHeartRadio. Those are all the places that you can catch me, and probably anywhere else that you have audio feed. So guys, thank you as always. I'll talk to you next time.